Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to the passage that we read from Romans, the end of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. If only we would take Christ at his word. If only the church, if each of us would allow the Holy Spirit to have his way within us. We know the difficulties. We know the problems and the struggles that all can face. But we also know that in the last resort, it is as simple as this. Will I take Jesus at his word? So said the famous preacher, Reverend James S. Stewart, the Scotsman of a few years ago. And so say I today. I want this morning and this evening to continue to think a little bit about what we were thinking about last Sunday evening, the theme of consecration. Offering ourselves entirely to the Lord, for the Lord to use as he pleases. Last week, last Sunday evening, we thought a little bit about why. Why consider such a word? Why consider such a theme? And we were looking a little bit at this passage at the end of Romans chapter 11 and the beginning of Romans chapter 12, where Paul, if you like, having expounded the gospel in the first 11 chapters of this letter, where Paul, having spoken of the grace of God in sending Jesus, his Son, to die and to be raised again for all who would believe, and how this message of grace is proclaimed to Jew and Gentile, and how as we respond to this gospel, the Lord not only saves us and justifies us, but the Lord brings us into his family as children of God. And if you like, at the end of all of that, Paul breaks into this doxology which we have here at the end of chapter 11. This doxology, this praise, this worship of God. And then at the beginning of chapter 12, as it were, in response to all that has gone before, says, Therefore, I urge you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, in view of God's mercy, in light of all that you have come to see, in light of all that you have heard in the gospel, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That is the ground, if you like, of consecration. That is the answer to the question, why should we give ourselves to God? Why should we give ourselves to Christ? It's in light of his mercies. It's in light of the gospel. It's in light of the grace of God. It's in light of what the eternal God has done for us. Today I want to build a little bit upon that and just together for us to look at what he goes on to say. Let's think a little bit about the nature of this consecration. Look at what he says at the beginning of chapter 12. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Arguably, there is a, if we can put it this way, a double nature to consecration. It concerns the giving of our bodies, and it concerns the giving of our minds. And notice here how Paul speaks of how the giving of ourselves is an act of worship. you will know. And some people think when they hear the word worship, they think of what we are doing now. They think of a Sunday morning service or a Sunday evening service. Or they think of occasion when people gather to sing hymns or sing contemporary songs. And of course, that is worship. It hopefully is. But that, of course, is not just worship. You cannot box worship into people gathering for an hour in a building and saying that's what worship is. Worship is to be much more than that. Worship is more than what happens on a Sunday morning, isn't it? It's much more than what happens when we have a nice experience as we sing praise songs. Matt Redman, in his famous words, "For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within." You see, worship is also about what happens tomorrow morning when you go to work on the farm, or when you go to work down at the harbour, or when you stand in front of a classroom, or when you seek to get your children out to school, or when you go down the street and work in a shop. Worship is about how you live as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a young teenager, as a student at college, as a pupil in a classroom, as an employer, as an employee, as a friend, as a neighbor, as a citizen. Worship is about what you're like on the farm, or at the harbor, or in the shop, or in the classroom, or on the football field. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Let me share with you something that we may not always pick up here. You see, when Paul would have mentioned to these people in the church in Rome about offering their bodies as living sacrifices, some of them would have been shocked. Particularly anybody from a Greek background, they would have been shocked, and I'll tell you why. Because they would have tended to think of the body as at best a burden, and at worst a great evil. That's what, in Greek thinking, without going into too much detail, that's what a lot of people tended to think. That the body was a problem, it was a burden, it was an evil, it was something to escape from. And Christians today can feel a little self-conscious, can't we, sometimes about our bodies. And evangelical Christians, and we are evangelical Christians, we tend to speak more about giving our hearts to Jesus, and I'm not in any way taking away from that at all. But we don't speak very much about giving our bodies to Jesus. But you see, Paul is teaching us here that worship and consecration, it's not meant to be something inward and mystical and private and pietistic. It is to be something earthy and practical and outward. Something that affects our bodies day by day. Let me spell it out this way. So here's a Christian, and they hear this challenge: present your bodies as living sacrifices, so our feet will seek to walk in godly paths. Our lips will seek to speak his truth. Our tongues will seek to spread the kindness and the goodness. Our hands will be engaged in a multitude of tasks that will seek to be helpful and good and kind. Our arms will be used to embrace and help and lift the fallen. Our ears will be open to hear the cries of the distressed and the needy, as we have heard this morning of the distressed and needy in the persecuted world of North Korea. And our eyes will seek to look on those things that honor Christ and bring him praise. Recently I was reading about this man, Louis Palau, the famous Argentinian evangelist. I was reading something of his life and how he gave his life as a young lad to Jesus in Argentina, and how he was even seeking to be set aside for ministry. And yet in his heart, he was struggling. Let me just read to you something. It's not on the screen, but it's from his own words. So imagine this. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're a young Christian. Maybe you're wanting to live for Christ, but you struggle with different things. Maybe you're not a young person and you want to live for Christ and you struggle with different things. Listen to the experience of Lewis Palau. He says this. He says, "When I was young, I tried to please the world. I tried desperately to win the flattery of people around me. But the Lord dealt with me and brought me to a point of crisis. I felt like God was saying to me, 'Lewis, a few more weeks of this and you're finished.' I could see it coming. I'd been walking away from God for several years. I'd pushed things to the limit. That's when I got down on my knees and I said, 'Lord, have mercy upon me. I'll serve you and give my whole life to you.' Having made that simple yet profound decision, my life began to change radically." So here's this young lad wanting to be a Christian, but struggling as a Christian, big time. And the Lord brings him to this place of consecration where he gives himself afresh to God. He goes on to say this: "If you're tired of catering to the world's latest fads, if you're weary of giving in to the lusts of the flesh, if you've had it trying to live like the devil, take this step. Don't play games with God. Don't miss out on everything God still has in store for you. Consecrate your life to him today. Don't let another hour pass by." And I finish my quotation with this. He says this, very telling. He's speaking here to some Christians. And he says, "The fact is, you used to be happy in the Lord. But since you have wandered, you have no victory, no joy, no growth." He says this: "If that is the case, you need to consecrate your life anew. Say, 'Lord, I put myself back on the altar again. I'm all yours. Take my body, fill my heart. I give myself to you.'" Now, I would be absolutely certain that in a church of this size, that there are people here today, and that is a word from the Lord for you. Because as a pastor, I know my own heart. And as a pastor, I know the things that we struggle with. And as a pastor, I also have to submit to this word. As you, as a professing Christian, is God calling you today back to that place of offering yourselves as a living sacrifice, putting yourself upon the altar and saying, "Lord, here am I. Take me and use me." I believe he is. And I believe that there are some here today, and you can identify with Lewis Palau because you are also going through a time in your life where you are struggling, where you have lost something of the joy and the growth and the victory in Christ. And we need to hear this call to come back, to lay ourselves on the line with the Lord and say, Lord, take me and use me. Here I am. All to you I surrender. The Lord calls us today. The Lord calls you today. And what will be the result of this? Well, Paul goes on here to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this this morning, but he's basically calling us not to allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. Remember, a friend of the family used to have one of these little boys in their bedroom, a chameleon. You know what a chameleon does? It blends into the background. And you know, the danger for us as Christians is that we just blend in. That we cease to be distinctive. The Lord, to use those famous words of J.B. Phillips in his paraphrase of the New Testament, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's his paraphrase of those words. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Don't allow the world to squeeze you. The world is always squeezing us. Brother and sister, this morning, are you being squeezed? Are you conforming to the world? Have you ceased to be different? Are you scared to be different? Scared what someone will say or think? And yet that's the very thing that people need to see, that we are different. If we're just like everyone else, what's the point? The Lord calls us not to make a contribution, but to be fully committed. In a moment we will be singing. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Let me finish this morning with two little illustrations. One, Hudson Taylor, who in March of 1892, yes, it was a long time ago, but don't be duped into thinking it has nothing to say to you. Hudson Taylor wrote to all the members of the China Inland Mission, and there's part of what he said. Let me read it to you. He said, "The supreme want of all missions in the present day is the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit. Where are the once thirsty ones, now filled, from whom flow rivers of living water? Should we not do well, rather, to suspend our present operations and give ourselves to humiliation and prayer for nothing less than to be filled with the Spirit and made channels through which he shall work with resistless power?" And he went on to speak of how we all need to give ourselves up to fresh consecration. And that is why I would invite you to come next Saturday morning to pray for the year that lies ahead. Unless the Lord builds the house in this place, they labor in vain that build it. And the type of people and the type of church that God uses in every generation is a people and a church who are consecrated to him. So come and seek God and ask for his blessing to be upon us, that we might be used to his glory in this year that lies ahead. And the last illustration and it's not on the screen. A.W. Tozer, don't know if you've read any of A.W. Tozer, I'm sure some of you have, very worthwhile reading. And he said this, he said that he heard a man who was called Dr. Reuben Torrey preach a sermon just before Dr. Torrey died. And Tozer said this, he said that as he listened to this man preach, he said that the man was coming to the end of his life. He was really very weak and his voice was shaky. But Tozer said it was one of the greatest sermons that he ever heard. And even years after Torrey had died, he could remember it. And part of what he remembered was this, that Torrey said to the people, "We do not need to worry about getting more of the Holy Spirit, but see to it that the Holy Spirit gets more of us. We can have all of Him if He can get all of us." And then Tozer added in his writings, "That is worth pondering." And that was an understatement. Has the Holy Spirit, all of you, or are you holding back? Honestly, I can say to you, you'll never be blessed of God in a way that you might be. And you'll never be used of God in a way that you might be if you hold back. It's all or nothing. But the wonderful thing is, as Jesus once said, those who want to hold on to their lives will lose them. But those who lose their lives for me and for the gospel will gain everything. That's the gospel. That's the radical challenge of the gospel. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.